So Wednesday, very important day in the Bruce house. Happy birthday, Adam.
I am another year closer to death, so that is exciting. The best part of my
Don't
birthday,
be so cheery.
the best part of my birthday is that my sister-in-law has a birthday today, the day after mine, and she's a year older, so I can every year do the same stupid joke of, it was excruciating being the same age as you for a day. I'm so glad that's over. Like, that's the best part of it.
Well, I just got to say, you look really good for a 50-year-old.
Soccer chat with two T's because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
All right, everyone. Welcome to season 3, episode 15.
Every
And
time. Every time. That is inaccurate.
we've got a very exciting episode for you. We've got Trilkey Smooth, goalkeeper Tim Trilk, and Wolfman Jeff is on the lam, but we've got some pre-recorded messages, so we'll hear from him a little bit later in the program. But let's go ahead and jump in with Tim Trilk.
Hello,
How you
Tim.
guys doing?
So as I gave you a heads up, I was going to start this off with some things from my daughters. First off, my middle child just casually, when I was telling her who we were interviewing, she's like, "Oh, tell him hi for me." Like as if you guys were like best friends and she's known you. I doubt she's even met you, but it was just so casual, like, "Oh, just tell him hi for me." And then my older child, I said, "Hey, we're interviewing the goalkeeper for the Rebels," and she's like, "Mora Mora?" I was like, No, Tim Trilk. And she's like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "Wait a second. Let's go back to that first comment. Will you be excited if it was more and more?" She's like, "Ooh, he's so cute." And I was like, "Oh, I feel like you're taking a shot at Tim and saying he's not. I'm just, I mean, you wore your blue UCLA to bring out your eyes, so."
Well,
That's funny.
to be fair, you're the most handsome guy on this podcast right now. So
I appreciate that. Low
bar.
let's go back in time. Your debut was in the game at Omaha. So let's go back to when you get the word from the coaches that you're going to be making your professional debut. What kind of emotions were you feeling getting ready for that game?
So they pulled me in the Monday of that week, and it was just very short and simple. Brought me in. You're starting on Saturday against Omaha. It's your time. Run with it. And exited the locker room, just kind of like, all right, I've been waiting. I sat all season and, had kind of a long preseason and first third or so of the season, and it was just kind of like, I'm ready to do this.
And so you talk about, having to sit all season, of course, behind Alex Mangels, who's kind of a Chattanooga Red Wolves legend. Those first couple years, played basically every minute. What was that relationship like? How much did you learn? What was kind of the biggest lesson that you learned from him, working with him last year?
Mangels and I had a very good relationship. He was definitely someone, like it was good to have him as kind of the starter and in my first season as a pro be behind him because he had, he's been in so many places at, many different levels that he's kind of seen everything and he was able to give me insight on how to train as a pro, how to handle things on and off the field and we kind of had two different styles of goalkeeping, but we were able to kind of pick things off of each other. And it was just a very fruitful relationship. And we've stayed in contact even this season. And it's he's just a good, a good friend to have and a good colleague as well.
So you say you're a different goalkeeper, but you have a lot of the same vocal tendencies that he did. However, I don't know that your away call is quite as loud as his. Pretty confident when we were playing some of those games, you could have been on the other side of the freeway and heard him. When you're voicing a lot of that to the team and you're back there, kind of controlling and moving people to certain places, how much of that is from trying to get people to where you've practiced or where you've prepared for, and how much of it is you're reading the offense and you're moving them around?
It's a combination of both, especially it's more dealing with you know, when balls go out wide in services, that's when it's okay. We've trained, you know, the both center backs and the opposite outside back need to be man marked. And otherwise, if it's just kind of, you know, they're coming down your throat, then it's just trying to organize how I can see what best would prevent a shot or a possible goal scoring opportunity, you know, before it really happens. And that's kind of when I coach other goalkeepers as well, that's how I kind of try and deliver the whole reason on why they need to communicate is, you know, if you can go a game without ever making a save because you positioned your defenders and everything perfectly that you never face a shot, well, hey, we'll take a zero on the board and go home with it happy.
So we were both keepers in high school. I will say I definitely had a couple games where I didn't have a save, but we still lost. Is that a problem?
It might be.
Okay.
No hard judgment, though.
So have you ever stopped three penalty kicks in one game?
I have not.
Oh, because I have.
Never fails.
All right. If I had done that, I'd wear that badge everywhere too.
just to let you know about how my high school was, I had three saves on penalty kicks in that game, and we lost 2-0. So,
well, that's a heartbreaker.
That's my team was very much a hey, let's all trot back with our hands up for offside while Alex faces a 1-on-1.
All right. So to bring up the next question, I'm going to pull something from Kay Baker, superfan Kay Baker. And if you don't know who that is, just look for the cowbell.
I'm sorry, Kay, that's not in the form of a question.
Yeah, it just says, I'm tired of crappy refs, which brings up my question. You had a very slight reaction when the goal was scored from North Texas.
Pretty subdued, yeah.
You barely moved. What was it outside of the you know, what was it specifically that you were arguing with him about?
So this is, I don't think I've ever approached a ref or any situation like this ever. Like, as I've gone back and watched it, it's kind of like, wow, that didn't seem as bad in my head as it kind of looks on film. But I don't even think everyone on, like, the team has recognized this yet. And I don't even think I've had the conversation with Oblada yet. But it was, we committed the foul outside the box. And I said, you know what, like, and the ball kind of rolled off, but was still in play, like half on line, half in. And I said, you know what, I'm going to grab the ball from behind the net, just drop it in the six, two balls on the field, you know, make the ref stop the play again and reset, just try and kill it. Ref never saw the other ball. They set up. And as soon as he sets the wall, I'm yelling, there's two balls on the field. There's two balls on the field. But the ref, I remember looking at him, he is not budging. He was so set on watching, you know, where the service is going to come in. And then we dealt with the first service. Unfortunately, we didn't deal with the second service. But then that's why, because I, the first time I've tried to just make a cheeky play and kill the game, it didn't necessarily backfire, but didn't work. And then later in the game, when North Texas was still up 1-0, they had tried to play a goal kick quick, but the ref stopped it and said, nope, there's two balls on the field. Go kick that one off. And I was like, okay. But so that's where,
well,
that outburst came from.
Tim, well, to let you know,
play, I definitely had your back.
Well, to let you know, Tim, the only reason it got called the second time was he just learned about that being a rule when you went and talked to him. So there's that.
Yeah, and it's actually pretty funny. So today in training, like I said, the Oblada and I haven't had the conversation yet, but obviously he could hear what I was saying, and we were just doing little rondos. And as I joined in, Oblada goes, you know, Tim, there's a pile of six balls here on the field. Are you okay with that? Is that okay? Do we need to move them?
Oh, that's so great.
Just a good bit of banter from coach.
So, you know, we love the atmosphere at CHI. You guys talk about the lift that it gives you as we're, you know, behind the goal, as we're carpet referees, as we're giving the other team junk. As you've played just a few road games, but maybe even as some of the games last season when you were traveling and were on the bench, what's some of the best banter that you've heard from the away fans, talking to you or to one of the other teammates? This is a family podcast too, so try to keep it PG.
I was gonna say Omaha. Omaha had a lot to say. Not much that was very PG for the podcast, but the thing that I will say is funny is my dad and some of my family traveled down to Omaha and tailgated for that game. You know, once they found out I was going to be my debut, they had to be there. And a lot of the tailgates are kind of, from what I've learned, is like, you know, fans from both sides will go have, you know, drinks with the other side and stuff. Yeah. And it's very like, you know, friendly. And so my dad was talking to some of the like main supporters from Omaha. He was like, yeah, like my son's goalkeeper, he's making his debut tonight. And they just ran with that. And then, so they were asking him questions and he's like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's, don't go too hard on him. And so I think it was fun that they were even chirping my dad in the parking lot before the game had even started.
That's good stuff. So the reason we ask that is we try to somewhat, and in the cleanest way possible, get into the other keeper's head to a point. You know, the guy in the North Texas game, really tall, wearing all green, kept calling him Gumby. The kids behind us were calling him Pickle Juice, which I thought was awesome that a bunch of, you know, 10 to 14-year-olds were yelling Pickle Juice at him. Those type of things are fun. It's when you cross a line into being you know, abusive towards the players that it becomes not fun and but something that shouldn't happen. So that's why we wanted to ask that, because I think a lot of fans don't realize that the players enjoy it to a point too. We've had a number of I think a Fitzy that has turned around and clapped for us at the end of the game, even when they've lost, to like thank us for being into it and things like that. That can be fun. It's just about not crossing that line, I think, more than anything.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, I'll do the same thing if, you know, there's times where I'll turn around after a game and applaud them, because, I mean, every now and then, like, I'll be, you know, lining up for a goal kick and someone will say something, I'll crack a little bit of a smile because I did not expect to hear that. And one of my favorite games to kind of play is, you know, with, like, social media and everything, you know, anything they want to find out about us, like, they can find out. And so sometimes I'll wait and see how late in the game it takes for them to figure out, you know, my girlfriend's name or something like that. And I remember, I think North Carolina, it got like in like the 85th minute, someone finally pushed. I was like, Kate Murphy, it's Kate Murphy's his girlfriend, and like tried to alert everyone else. And I just thought it was pretty funny. Like, it took them 85 minutes to
look that up. We did feel bad when we played North Carolina, though, because we didn't realize that Holiday was a 15-year-old. And there are some things that we wish we had not used the last name Holiday and references to motels combined. Just going to say that.
I mean, baptism by fire, you know, it's going to, you introduce him to it real quick, and I'm sure it's probably nothing he won't hear again.
I give him a lot of credit, because there are a lot of older, more experienced goalkeepers that have whipped their head around to look at me when I said things, and that guy kept his focus on the field the whole time that we were. Most of the time, I was basically just screaming, hey, trying to get him to turn around.
You did your normal offering a beer in the 80th minute. Like, do you need me to grab you one? And afterwards, we're like, that may have broken some walls.
Yeah, sorry. but we always want to make sure that they've got tacos, or if they need a beer at last call, we want to make sure that they've got what they need.
Perfect.
Let's flip that around. When the home crowd is going at CHI, are there particular chants that get you hyped up, or things that you like to hear from the fans when you're out there on the field?
Nothing in particular. I mean, I was like, the drums are always good to hear, because, you know, that kind of echoes for a couple miles as you hear it. And I mean, just seeing the fans in general, you know, being loud, having organized chants and stuff. Like, I went to a small, you know, Division I school, and we were lucky to have 100 fans on senior day. So like, just having fans and seeing them get involved, it's cool. Like, I remember against North Texas at one point, there were people in the family section standing up with like 2-year-olds in their arms, and they're getting in the coach's ears and the bench, and you know, that gives me a chuckle, and it's nice to see the support.
All right, so when you look at the rest of the season, you're sitting there at the top of the table, neck and neck with Omaha. You guys get this victory on Saturday. You'll move to the top of the table. We'll ignore points per game for a moment. When you're looking at this, how much are you guys putting an importance on one of those top two spots? I know that, you know, you always want to win every game, but how important do you guys think it is to get that bye when you look at the playoffs and have that rest? Is that something you guys talk about, or?
To be honest, we really haven't talked about that at all. You know, we recognize where we are, and at the moment, we know we're in a phenomenal place. We've always said we want to be peaking come September, and, you know, we're on that path. But the conversation all year has been, get into the playoffs, be in the top six. Because once we're in the top six, it's our game, and, you know, we're not going to we're not going to lose it if we're in the top six. And so if we can keep the pace we're at, it's good. If you can be the number one seed and, you know, have home field advantage in that first round bye, it's awesome. But, you know, we also know what we're capable of. And it's as long as we get in the playoffs, you know, we'll take care of business.
Is there any talk in the locker room about, you know, hey, try not to score too early? We do want to make sure that we've got something for the fans to have in the 80th minute. Or is that really just kind of the nature of how you guys play and you don't give up till that 90th minute?
So, I mean, we've got that, you know, never say die attitude. And, well, you know, we had guys who couldn't even celebrate after Galen Dres's goal the other night because they had given absolutely everything. Ball goes in and they just lay down because they're cramping, they're exhausted. And it's kind of funny because after the third game or so where we tied it or won it late, we were sitting in the locker room and Obleda looks at us and is like, if this is how we're going to do it this season, that's fine. Just tell me so I can, you know, take my heart medication accordingly.
I was going to say, Coach Obleda is in good shape. You got to think about the two of us, Tim.
He is. And I mean, he's like, he also said, he's like, you know, hey, if you guys want to throw one game in there where we go up early, you know, 4-0, and I can sit down and not have to yell and scream, you know, that'd be great too. I can sit down and enjoy the game. You know, we gave him that in North Carolina and still didn't sit down. So,
yeah, I don't think you're going to get him to sit down. Exactly. Maybe to get him to stop screaming could be something. But even then, I think when you were up 4-0, he was still screaming about things. So,
exactly. I mean, and it's good. You know, he always wants more, and that's kind of that fuels us. You know, if he were to just sit down and not say a word, you know, it would probably translate to, you know, how we perform on the field.
So you've talked a little bit about coaching younger kids. You've worked with the Chattanooga Red Wolves Academy and I think a few other schools around town. I know you were also working with Danny Kay and the Lady Red Wolves. How has that coaching aspect helped you become a better goalkeeper on the field as a player?
I mean, it keeps me always involved with it. So, you know, I could go to training, hour and a half, go home, and not think about goalkeeping or soccer at all the rest of the day. But, you know, I go back out and there's times where they'll make a mistake or something. And I'm like, oh, I do the same thing. And so I see it in them. And then it's just, you know, okay, if I can teach them, it's, you know, kind of like when teachers say, like, I'm teaching you, but I'm still learning it at the same time. And it's just, once you flip it around and look at a different perspective, you know, it's always easier to learn that way as well and see it both ways.
So last question for me, but it's relating to coaching as well. You had the opportunity last year to be with Eamon Zide as he was on the sidelines recovering from a number of injuries and such. Did you see him as somebody that you expected to go into coaching? And if so, why?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, he was open. He would talk about it. You know, he was obviously, I knew him at the end of his career, but he was already so far into his coaching licenses and all that. And he was one of those players that, you know, they could play, but then if you just sit there and have a conversation with them, the game just comes to him naturally. Like, his soccer IQ is next level. He gets the game, and it's one of the, he was born to coach, I would say. And I think he'll have a lot of success in Northern Colorado, and, you know, I wish him the best of luck.
All right. Well, Tim, we want to thank you so much for your time because we know that that you're very busy. We are really excited about Saturday, and hope that you can, you know, come away with that clean sheet and help us get to the top of the table.
Definitely, it'll be a fun one. Looking forward to it. Thank you for having me, guys.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
Have a good one.
All right, Tim Trilk. Good conversation.
Yeah.
So I guess before we get too far in, people are driving away. Sorry, just a moment. Before we get too far in, as I said, Wolfman Jeff is on the lam, heading up to spend some time with his family in the Great White North. And he wanted to share his thoughts on the Red Wolves game with North Texas. So Adam, if you've got that ready, let's hear Jeff's thoughts.
Wolfman Jeff, coming at you just real briefly, you're on the way to heading to Canada. Just real quick match reaction. Didn't get a chance to watch too much.
All right, I'm going to stop that because it's not giving any of the actual video to anyone. So I'm going to reload it super quick. And then we can take a look at that again and see if it works better. Here we go.
You just real briefly, you're on the way to heading to Canada. Just real quick match reaction. Didn't get a chance to watch too much of the game. Just the tail end, actually. So I was able to see the Galindra's goal. That was a fantastic goal off the post. But what I did see, I guess my overall reaction is I think we should have gotten the win against North Texas going into it. But because I watched the game, that may make more sense of another draw. But I guess this my gut reaction is that we probably would have been enough to get 3 points. But happy to get our unbeaten streak continue. So onward, upward. I really wished I could be there for Omaha and want to make the boo-hoos cry and boo-hoo. So my prediction is I am going to go for a 2-1 Red Wolves. I do think we are tired of these draws and we want to get a win. And there's enough animosity. And you should have a full house Saturday. I think on a Tuesday night, it's harder to get the fans out. So as long as they don't stop the fans from fanning, I think you're going to get a 2-1 Red Wolves.
All right, Alex. So, his reaction was one of somebody who watched it, you know, on the TV because he was preparing for this Canadian trip. What was your reaction?
I tend to agree with him. I feel like we were a better team, although I think it's kind of a funny matchup. Right? The North Texas, I think, has done the best at bottling up our attack. I think they have the speed to match a lot of what we do. And so it disrupts our passing, keeps us from really getting that pattern and trying to build on a lot of shots. And so that's what I saw as this game was going. I think I saw on Facebook someone said something about the Red Wolves dominating and coming away with an earned point. To me, I did not feel like the Red Wolves dominated that game. And I feel like we stole a point.
No,
from North Texas in that match.
I would agree. That was a stolen point. North Texas really gave our guys a hard time, broke up a lot of passes. We were trying to dribble through them a ton, and it just wasn't really working. I think there was opportunity for us to really do a lot better than we did. And I think we dropped an opportunity, but it's not because we could have won the game as much as we didn't show up in a manner that looked like the team that was sitting in a position to go into first place if they won the game, right? That didn't look like the team that was out there. It looked like North Texas was a traveling, stronger team coming to someone else's home and doing very well to dominate for a large portion of that game in controlling play. There were parts in the first half prior to their goal where I kind of looked at you and I said, you know, hey, looks like we're finally getting it under control. We're starting to kind of put our will in. But once they got that goal, it went the opposite direction. I felt like it wasn't where I felt like they were going to score on us again, but it didn't feel like we were ever going to be able to get on the score sheet. It was almost like they had perfectly planned. We're going to get our 1-0 victory and walk away, which is what made us scoring so late so great.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, the thing that you take from that is, as much as we say North Texas probably looked the better team, it wasn't for lack of effort. And I saw lots of guys selling out and, you know, Tim Trilk talking about how they, you know, they kept playing hard and we got that goal and some of them were not able to celebrate because they were laying on the field cramping. And so these guys really did give everything they had in order to get that point, get that goal at the very end.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, Alex's son is part of the Chattanooga Rebels Academy, and he is in the process of picking him up and doing the podcast at the same time. So more power to him. I don't have that kind of concentration ability to do both. But so if you're wondering what the extra noise is that you're hearing, that would probably more than likely be young Jonah and his expertise that may jump in at some point.
as well as my beautiful wife, who is going to be able to drive so that you guys can look at my ugly mug as I talk about these games. And couldn't do it without her. Love you, honey.
So, you know, doing some reaction, looking at the game, what is the one thing from that game that you think will carry over into the Omaha match? Something that you saw that you want to see again?
I think it's the never quit attitude. Now, it's a quick turnaround. These guys left everything out on that field. I got to imagine they're having some light practices through the rest of the week. But the way that they were able to dig down and come away with that point in a game that really didn't feel like they were going to have that breakthrough, I think that confidence can carry over, and to know that they're going to be, you know, in a stadium on a real field that's like the real grown-up size, is going to help give them that confidence to know that they can attack Omaha and they can go all the way to the 90th minute, 90 plus, and take care of business.
So let's look towards that Omaha game. What are the lineup changes you're expecting from the game versus North Texas as we move into playing Omaha?
I would maybe expect to see someone like Markey move towards the bench, to see Ray Ortiz or Jimmy Villalobos come back into the lineup, or maybe even Blake Frischknecht get a start with Rafa Mensagen moving out to a wing. I think that's really one of the few. Maybe even someone coming into that midfield spot for Ro Pineda. And those are really some of the only ones. Maybe one of the other ones, and it's hard for me to say that because with Omaha, you really want to have your best 11. But to maybe see someone like Jorge Luna come in for Daniel Navarro in this game against North Texas, he came away with an absolute game-saving slide tackle in the second half.
Yeah.
But in a lot of situations, he looked like he was tired. He's, you know, one of, I think, the older players on the team, one of the more experienced, and he's played a lot. He plays these games. He plays the full 90 minutes, and it feels like every fifth or sixth game, he needs to have a day off and be able just to have the rest. And so I think maybe he's kind of at that point, but it's hard to take his steady hand away when you're coming up against a team that's first in the league.
I'm curious, do we know if Blake is back yet from his leave for his child being born?
His girlfriend, wife, I'm not sure which, that had the baby, is in Chattanooga with him. So I'm assuming they're around.
Okay.
So that would allow him to be able to come back pretty quickly.
So when I look back at the game that we played in the baseball field, Blake started, Ray Ortiz started, Espana started. So those are three different players. At that point, you know, Rafa was just coming back from, you know, the injury he sustained earlier in the year. He wasn't fully back yet. But he did come on later in the games. So did Ro Pineda, Dietrich, and Markey. Galindrez got the start in that game. That was that weird, you know, part of that was probably because of the fact that they're playing on such a tiny field, they didn't really need any speed to get up there.
Right.
So, you know, and here's the update from Kay about my question about Blake. So he is in town. So that answers that question for me.
Was it Blake that was cute or was it the baby? That's what I want to know.
Knowing Kay, she'll say both. Yes. And if you ask my daughter, she'll probably say both as well, since she apparently has a massive interest in more and more. What hasn't happened that we were expecting at that time was Ray Ortiz becoming more involved. He's actually become less involved. However, when he came in the game, he brought a lot of energy off that bench. Do you think he did enough to earn getting a start, or do you think he's going to stay on the bench?
I think he could, and I think he's the kind of guy that you can swap out with Markey Hernandez, is that he can provide that energy early and allow us to bring Markey off the bench as the game changer that he's been. One of the other, you know, something that I checked with sources in the front office, because at the end of this North Texas game, as we've said multiple times, lots of guys were cramping. Lots of guys were kind of limping off the field. They had given everything they could. Jackson Dietrich was subbed and walked straight to the locker room. He didn't come to the bench because he needed some treatment. But from the front office, they are not talking about any of these guys being injured or having to necessarily miss time. So I think they're going to have that full complement to be able to put them in. So I'm hoping that it is, you know, double barrels here, and we're ready to take on this team with our best 11.
All right, so we already got the prediction from Wolfman of a 2-1. Let's go ahead and make our own painful predictions. What is your expectation?
So I'm concerned with the amount of energy and emotion that happened on Tuesday that it's possible there could be a letdown. I know that the Omaha game, you know, they've got it circled on their calendar. The team is as excited about it as the fans are. The fact that it is the team in first place and a win can put us ahead of them. Everyone excited about the post-game fireworks and the wearing the third kits again. But I think it's very possible that at some point in the first half, Greg Hurst poaches one, as he's wont to do, and they're able to bunker in and keep us from that equalizer, and we just don't quite have the energy to get the lift at the end of the game. So I, knowing that I'm terrible at predicting things, am going to predict a 0-1 Omaha victory.
That is painful. So, you know, everyone knows I was a big Greg Hurst fan while he was here. But the one thing that was consistent for him, he doesn't have the most, the greatest stamina in the world. And our field is significantly larger than what they're playing on there in Omaha. We make jokes about it, but away from the jokes, it's significant to the difference in play. And so I fully expect what we're going to see here is I think we're going to keep Markey and Galindres on the bench to have those change-up players. And I think we're going to put out an offense that the whole point of it is to keep them from scoring and keep them moving around so that we can get something late. And I'm going to go 1-0 as well, but I'm going the other direction. I think we're going to get another late goal. And I think it's either going to be, you know, Galindres or maybe even Dietrich or someone like that getting across from either Markey or Ricky to create that opportunity. But I just think we set up well if we play the game that's our game. If we let ourselves control the setup, we should be able to beat them based off of the fact that they're built to play on the 7v7 field. And so we need to take advantage of that and run them around. I wish that we didn't have the Tuesday game beforehand. It makes it a little easier, but...
Yeah, it's going to be a wonderful, exciting night, a Saturday night, fireworks post-game. Weather should be really nice, and so I'm hoping, you know, the tailgate spot will be going as you come in. So I hope everyone enjoys themselves. There is going to be brewski. Yay. Excited to break into those. And, yeah, hope you guys enjoy the match. Any other thoughts?
No, I think we've covered everything we can on the previous game and the future game. So let's move to some other area soccer. And the first one we got on here, some college kickoffs starting tonight. There are two. The first one is the yes. UTC women, who will be playing against UAB.
Then we also, I think they've already happened quite possibly. Bryan College was playing Savannah College, both the men and women, was a doubleheader there in Dayton. So good luck to the Lions. Good luck to the Mocs. And earlier in the week, Tennessee Wesleyan, both their men's and women's team had openers against different teams, and both were not able to come away with the victory.
So just so you're aware, some of these games for the women will be on ESPN Plus, and if you're a Red Bulls fan, you more than likely have ESPN Plus for those away games, so keep your eye out for that. It's always good to
see women.
Yeah, it's good to see that opportunity to go, you know, see them and utilize that ESPN Plus subscription to get and see some more soccer, because more is always better. But yeah, it's exciting that soccer is always been big in this town, right? It's been big before CFC, even they like to claim that they're the reason that it's big here. It's not. It's been big with, you know, Covenant. Was soccer's the main one? Bryan, soccer's the main one. Lee University, soccer's the main one. UTC women are definitely worth going out and watching. You know, you've got Macaulay and Baylor that are heavily, usually very strong teams on the high school side. You've got all those Whitfield County teams in Dalton for the women and the boys and girls in high school. There's so much talent in this area. And it's so much more than these two professional teams. And that's one of the things that we love about this town is that they embrace this sport. And it's not just, hey, I'm going out to have a beer and sing some songs with my buddies and not know what's going on. There's a lot of knowledgeable people about the game. So get out there and watch some more, because there's more than just Red Wolves and CFC in this town.
And one of the things that's awesome, of course, there's going to be ways for you to support these clubs financially. But it's basically free. I'm pretty sure at Lee, I know at Covenant, I know with the UTC women, that these games are free to enter. So you can go to the stadiums, you can, bring your chair, sit along the side. Covenant got an excellent set of bleachers for people to sit and watch the game at Scotland Yard, which my Vikings are going to be invading September 14th. It's something that you can do, and you can take the kids and you can enjoy yourself, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg.
All right. So let's move on to world soccer. I think we can skip the first topic, right?
So last week, you made a big, bold prediction about Arsenal's opener and them playing the newly promoted Brentford. So I had to work Friday afternoon. I wasn't able to check in on the game. How did that go?
We gave Brentford the opportunity to have their first victory in the top flight in 75 years. Thought that was kind of us.
Yeah.
Obviously.
How many times have they played Premier League soccer?
Zero. None. Huh. Yeah. That's true. Not the best start to the season. It could have been worse. We could have had the most expensive team in Premier League history and lost. I mean, that was a thing that also happened this weekend. One of the things that I've learned when it comes to Premier League is overreactions are easy to have early on, especially when you're missing your two strikers. You haven't yet finished the transfer window. You may not be picking up a $35 million midfielder that's supposed to be really, really good yet. So it can be easy to overreact. But at the same time, losing to a team that most people expect to get the opportunity to go play in championship next year isn't the thing that you really want to start your season off with.
So all that said, hey, Adam, did you see who pounced on a rebound and scored a goal in the opener? Did you see that?
Was it hot?
Did you see? Christian Pulisic scored a goal.
That's great.
So 3-0 over Crystal Palace. Big soccer chat derby this Sunday at 11:30. I am not overconfident. I know you guys are much better than Crystal Palace and will give us a much better game. I'm sure you read and you've listened to Arsenal. Are you Arse blog and all that kind of stuff, are spirits high or spirits low? Do you feel like you're going to bounce back or?
I don't think we'll lose by five. It's probably going to be closer to seven or eight. So there's word that, Odegaard is being brought in, but there's word he's having visa issues because of Brexit. So he may not be there. We have four players that are in COVID tested positive, which includes our two top strikers. Not super confident. And I think with good reason. I mean, we started a kid that never played in the Premier League and last week. Our number three striker is Pepe. Our number four striker is also out. So we're missing three of top four players. in the striking area. Our number one midfielder is out. Our number two will be Odegaard. He probably won't be signed in time to play. So we're going to be missing, you know, a lot of our talent. And we don't have a lot of talent to begin with. We're very thin. We don't go very deep. And one of the things that a lot of Arsenal fans were saying before the season started was, at least if you want to look at the bright side of not being in Europe, at least the fact that we don't have a super deep team will be less evident because you won't have these midweek games wearing you out. Well, when all those players get sick or injured before the season starts, it makes it a little bit harder to have to say that. So, yeah, I'm expecting a loss. I mean, I've resigned myself to it. I'm hopeful that we can survive these first, you know, this first little bit enough that we can make a realistic run at top six so we can get back into Europe. I would love to act like I think we have a shot at top four. I don't, but I think it's realistic that we could fight for that 5-6 spot with the team we have. And I like that we've made a youth movement, that we're signing a young goalkeeper. We're signing a 22-year-old midfielder. Those are things I'm happy with. And so, yeah, but at the same time, I'm not super confident for this weekend. I would love for us to get a victory, and I would love for it to be because of an own goal by Did You See? So I could do the reverse to you and be like, hey, did you see? Did you see? Pulisic scored for the wrong team. That's my dream. It ain't happening.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. He doesn't go deep enough into that box to put one in his own goal. So we also have update from Jeff on Wolverhampton.
Hey, this is Wolfman Jeff coming at you. I know you guys want to talk about Premier League. Wolves had their first game this weekend. It was against Leicester. It was at Leicester. It was medium. We had a loss, 1-0. Jamie Vardy, he got that goal in. He just so reminds me of Beattie. For some reason. But we had a lot of players still out, and we still got work to do, but I'm not as concerned. I think we're going to be okay. This is the game you really would love to see. Nuno returning at the Molineux against Tottenham. So that would be really interesting. So we'll see. I'm probably going to go for a draw against Tottenham. So I'm going to go for a 1-1, and I think Raul will score. I'm not sure if Kane's going to play or not, so I guess Song will get for Tottenham. Hey, this is Wolfman Jeff, fleeing the country. Bye.
Fleeing the country.
All right, Wolfman. Well, we hope you can stay ahead of the authorities and enjoy your time with Anne of Green Gables up there in Canada. So, you have any other Premier League thoughts?
No, I got nothing. I got nothing else for you.
All right. Well, all that leaves us is our Biggleswade report. Been making a lot of friends in Biggleswade lately, so shout out to all of you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Biggleswade United got a much needed week off, as they are right now sitting in their last place with a negative 21 goal differential. Things are tough for Biggleswade United men. But on the bright side, the Biggleswade United ladies won their first game in the Eastern Regional Women's Football League, which is step 6 of the ladies pyramid. So congrats to them. They have a reserve side that they've put into the league that they were promoted from. And those young ladies as well won their first league game on Sunday. So 2-0 for Biggleswade on Sunday. And Tuesday, Biggleswade FC as well was a winner. So they've in their league, Biggleswade FC had a loss to kick off their league season, and then they had a win in this last match. And they will be playing Saturday in the preliminary round of the FA Cup. They will be traveling to Harborough Town, which is a little bit north of Leicester, not too far for them to travel. And they'll be looking forward to that game. So there's the preliminary round, Adam, which leads to the first qualifying round. There are 4 qualifying rounds, before you get to the first league proper, which is where you have the first pro teams enter in. And then from there you get to the third round, which is where the Premier League clubs join.
So if they can win 9 straight games,
they will have an opportunity to get drawn against a Premier League club. Yes.
Well, if they get lucky, they'll draw Arsenal, so they have a chance.
Biggleswade Town also won on Tuesday. They had a draw in their league opener that Saturday, and they will be hosting Peterborough Sport in their league on this coming Saturday. So good luck, Nunny. We're cheering for all you guys. And that is your Biggleswade report.
All right. There was one other thing that you had sent us about Biggleswade. I didn't know if you wanted to comment on it, and a joint venture that they're going to be doing. Do you have much more information on that?
Yeah, well, not a ton more information, but it was a very interesting collaboration that is going on between Biggleswade Town and Biggleswade United. They have essentially signed a head of scouting who is going to be working for both clubs, working the area, trying to find talent to sign to both teams. I've said before, when Biggleswade United got moved, basically they made a lateral move from one league to another, and essentially their entire first team sought contracts, or it's not really a contract because they're semi-pro, but they sought to play with other clubs who are closer to the area where they live. That was the big sticking point in moving from this league, is that, you know, it's, think of it as, you know, UTC playing in the Southern Conference, all of a sudden having to play in the Missouri Valley. And so instead of getting to take on teams that are, you know, in the Carolinas or in Georgia, they're having to play people that are, you know, out in Missouri and Kentucky and West Tennessee. That would really affect your recruiting base. And that's basically what they're trying to build up. And so it's really awesome to see the two clubs kind of combine to offer a little bit better salary to someone who's going to come in and look for folks to put in both of those clubs and help build them up and find those people. So that's real exciting.
Very cool.
Kind of amazing. You've got two lower division small clubs in the same town, and they're actually working together to make soccer better instead of doing silly things to undercut each other.
Yeah, like never letting their two teams play in the other team's academy tournaments, or never doing friendlies versus each other at the beginning of the season, even though they're literally in the same town. Like things like that are just like, really? Like, you're being petty. Like, just, you're both third division. It's a good opportunity to test yourselves, but whatever. So, all right. Well, do you have anything else before we depart?
I don't. We're gonna end this show early because we had so much less Wolfman Jeff.
All right. Well, on that note,
bye.
Man, I really wish I had Jeff singing Old Town Road. Just saying.